Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes that God has raised up Jesus far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. St. Paul wants to emphasize that Christ is in authority over all things now. He is living, he is reigning over all things in heaven and on earth now and in the world to come. Christ is victorious over sin, death, and the devil. But his church that exists here on earth before he comes again still lives in the midst of sin. Sin in this world that we see around us, sin that clings to our own hearts, and as Jesus said, continues to flow out of our own hearts, tempting us to all kinds of wickedness. In this world, Christ's church on earth still lives in the midst of a battle against sin and Satan. Christ has not left you alone in the midst of this battle, but rather he is with you. He has conquered, and he also gives you everything in order that you might stand in the midst of this battle. And because of this, Christ says to his called people, his chosen people, his redeemed people, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Our risen and victorious Lord gives you his armor in order that you might stand firm in the faith against the schemes of Satan. Stand firm in the faith until he comes again to take you home to be with himself. And that's the message that our text from Ephesians chapter 6 has for us today, that Christ gives you his armor in order that you might stand firm in the battle, in order that you might stand firm in the faith. And there are two main parts of this text of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. First of all, he describes to us what the nature of the battle is, who it is we're fighting, and then in the other part, he says, who is fighting for us? What has Christ done for us in order that you might withstand in the midst of the battle? First of all, addressing who it is we're fighting. St. Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." St. Paul wants us to understand that there's more to this life than just what we see right in front of us with our own eyes. But rather, behind it all is this spiritual world. Both on the one hand, Satan, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, and then on the other hand, we have Christ and his angels who wish to preserve us in the faith. St. Paul wants us to understand that the true enemy in this world, the true enemy in this battle, is Satan himself. And his ultimate goal is that he would turn us away from Christ. Pluck us out of the hand of Christ. Turn us away from the faith that saves us. And St. Paul tells us this in order that you might be on guard against the temptations of Satan, knowing that he is prowling around seeking someone to devour, knowing that he is tempting, knowing that he is sowing discord amongst you and the people that you interact with on a daily basis in order that you might fall into sin and ultimately fall away from the faith. And St. Paul isn't telling you this, that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, in order that you might think that this physical world doesn't matter, but rather he's wanting you to understand the spiritual forces that are at work behind everything that happens in this physical world. because Satan is going to use the things of this physical world, physical temptations, the lusts of this world, to try to draw us into sin. He's even going to use people to perform evil deeds in this world. These are things that we need to be aware of, things that we need to be on guard of, so that we might withstand in the evil day, that we might stand firm in the faith. But we also have to understand that St. Paul doesn't bring all of this up. He doesn't talk about Satan in order that you might think Satan is too powerful. He doesn't bring up Satan in order that you despair, thinking that everything is crashing down because you see evil out in this world, thinking that Satan is just completely on the loose and that he can do whatever he wants. We shouldn't fear Satan, but we should recognize that he is working for evil, but we shouldn't fear him because we recognize that he is a defeated enemy. We recognize that Christ has already crushed Satan under his feet. We recognize that there's nothing that Satan ultimately can do to us besides try to get us to turn away from Christ. But when we remain in Christ, we remain victorious over sin. We remain victorious over Satan. Christ is victorious. He hasn't left you alone. The status of this battle here in this world isn't up in the air, but rather we know the outcome. Christ wins. Christ is coming back to cast Satan into the lake of fire and to create the new heavens and the new earth. These things aren't up in the air, but we know them for sure. And what we do know is that in the midst of this battle, Christ fights for you. He wages war against Satan for you. He has defeated Satan already for you. Christ equips himself with his armor and that in order that he might destroy Satan. And that is the image that St. Paul uses then in Ephesians chapter 6 when he's talking about the full armor of God. This isn't something just that St. Paul made up on the spot. It isn't something that he added into his letter just to be a nice little cute illustration at the end. Although it is very memorable, it does stick in our minds, but St. Paul actually takes this from Scripture itself. The description of the armor of God is something that describes God himself. It is the armor that Christ picks up in order that he might fight sin, death, and hell on our behalf. Listen to the Old Testament description of God from Isaiah 59, 16 through 17. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. Christ uses the armor of God to fight against Satan and to defeat Satan. And then the wonderful thing that our text has for us today is that he gives that same armor, those same weapons that he was victorious with, to you. He gives them to you in order that you might withstand against the attacks and against the schemes of the devil. And what an amazing and astonishing gift that this is, that we get to wear the very armor of Christ with which he waged war against Satan. And that armor is Christ himself. Because Christ's weapon that he used to fight against Satan was his own body. When he came in the flesh to live a perfect, righteous life on our behalf, to offer up that body for our salvation, for our forgiveness, these are the weapons with which he waged war against Satan. And he gives them to you because he gives himself to you. St. Paul writes, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." You get to have truth wrapped around you like a belt, surrounding you in all that you do. And we know that Jesus says of himself that he is the truth. As he says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is himself the truth, that you have salvation with God through him. And in baptism, you are clothed with Christ. He is wrapped around you, enveloping you, meaning that in baptism, you have truth surrounding you. You have Christ surrounding you. So when you are surrounded by Christ, when you have Christ wrapped around you, this utterly defeats the lies of Satan. For Satan will try to cast doubt into your heart and in your mind concerning your own status of salvation, concerning what Christ has done for you, but Christ's truth wrapped around you defeats those lies. Moving on, St. Paul says, stand therefore, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And you can imagine a suit of armor. The breastplate is the thing that protects your vital organs and your body, namely your heart. Your heart might be the most vital organ of your body, pumping blood to every member of your entire body. But though it's necessary for our lives, Jesus says that we have a difficult relationship with our own hearts as sinful human beings. Our heart is necessary for our life, but Jesus also says, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. These sinful desires flow out of our heart, and then also from the outside, Satan attacks to try to tempt us to give in to these sinful desires that flow out of our hearts. Knowing that this is our state, knowing that sin dwells within us and flows out of us, we must pray with the psalmist like we did at the beginning of our church service, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We must have God give us a new, clean heart because of how corrupt, soiled, and dirty our own heart is. And Christ does give you a clean heart. With his blood that he sheds on the cross, he washes you clean. And then in holy baptism, he seals you, protects you, so that that clean heart stays within you and that you're protected from the outside temptations of Satan. Christ wielded the breastplate of the armor of God in his own body when he gave up his own body on our behalf. He put on the breastplate of righteousness when he lived that perfect life. And then the way he used the breastplate of righteousness was actually the opposite of what we might think of with normal armor. Because Jesus left his own body completely exposed and vulnerable on the cross in order that he might die for our salvation. This is his breastplate of righteousness. This is his armor. And through his death, he gives you the armor that gives you eternal life, protects you. And when Jesus was vulnerable, when he was exposed on the cross, a spear pierced his own side, and from that hole in his side flowed blood and water. Blood which cleanses you, blood which gives you a clean heart, water which flows from his side, pours into the holy baptismal font, seals you in holy baptism. In holy baptism, you receive that breastplate of righteousness that keeps your clean heart within you and protects you from the temptations of Satan from the outside. St. Paul writes, stand therefore with as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Christ crushed Satan under his feet when he rose from the dead, never to die again. Death has no more dominion over him. And he stood in the midst of his disciples in order to declare peace to them. And when he declared peace to them, this was his forgiveness. He was standing in the midst of his disciples saying, I forgive you of all of your sins. And in the same way, Christ declares peace and forgiveness to you. And when you're given that peace, you are equipped with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And what is the readiness of the gospel of peace? It is the readiness, then, to walk in the ways of Jesus. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. This is what it's talking about when we put the gospel of peace on our feet as shoes. That we would follow Jesus both in love for God and love for those around us, being ready at all times to do the things that God has called us to do. Next, St. Paul says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The devil is always going to try to fling doubt and fear into you. He's always going to question God's word, saying, did God really say? This is the question he gives to Adam and Eve in the garden so that they would doubt God's word. This is the question he tries to ask you as well so you would doubt the truth of God's word. Does Jesus actually say you're forgiven? Did Jesus say he actually came to save you? Did Jesus say he is actually coming back once again? But when we're given the shield of faith, this allows us to extinguish these flaming darts of doubt that Satan tries to plant in our minds. This extinguishes the flaming darts and protects us so that we can cling to the truth and promises of God's word. Christ himself wielded this shield of faith when he faithfully fulfilled his task here on earth. We can particularly think about his agony and bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he faithfully said, "Not my will, but yours be done," trusting and clinging to the promises of God. And in the same way, through faith, we cling to the promises of Christ to protect us from the doubts and lies of Satan. Next, St. Paul says, take up the helmet of salvation. Christ won our salvation by putting on a crown of thorns, a crown of humility, in order to die for us. But because he did this, because he went through all of this, he has been crowned with all authority over all things in heaven and on earth. He is our head, and in him, we put on this helmet of salvation. We put on the helmet of salvation in order that we might endure in the faith, so that in the end, we might also receive the crown of glory that belongs to Christ. Finally, St. Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're also given a weapon of attack against Satan, something that we can fling back at Satan when he tries to accuse us. When Satan tests us, tempts us, and casts doubt, we can always return to the word of God and speak the word of God to him in the midst of those temptations, in the midst of his afflictions. You can think about how Jesus did this in the wilderness when he was being tempted, that Satan kept asking him all these questions. Did God really say, if you are the Son of God, then do this? And in the same way, Jesus always responded to him with Scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. And in the same way, when Satan tries to attack us, we respond with the words of Scripture, the words and promises of Christ. When Satan tries to cast doubt about our forgiveness, we can boldly say, Christ declares, I'm forgiven. When Satan tries to cast doubt about Christ's return or our salvation, we can boldly proclaim, Christ has promised this, so it will come to pass because he said it. This is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Christ gives you this armor in which you stand, praying at all times in the Spirit, in order that you might receive perseverance, both for your own self and also praying for those around you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. He gives you this armor in order that you might have patient perseverance in the faith. And this includes taking up the gifts that God gives you, taking up the armor that he gives you, going to the places where he's promised to be, because he's promised to be with you in his word. He's promised to be with you in the holy sacraments, his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. He He's promised to be with you when he joins himself to you in holy baptism. Take up these gifts. Take up this armor. Be where Christ promises to be. Cherish his word. Cherish his sacraments. For in these things, he strengthens you in order that you might stand firm in the faith. The day will come when Christ will come again and finally cast Satan into the lake of fire, into his eternal condemnation. The day will come when sin and Satan will be no more. Christ will take you to be with himself, clothing you with the robe of righteousness, placing on your head the crown of glory. But now, as we live in this earth, he gives you his armor in order that you might stand firm in the faith, so that on that day when he comes again, you might stand before him in righteousness and purity forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.